This Doug and Danny podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
This is Central Nebraska's most listened to all sports radio station.
We always parade winners around here.
From 1460 KXPN and 1550 KICS, you're listening to Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation.
For any of you who have listened in the past, you know that I am not a radio-trained personality, so we are just going by the seat of our pants.
It's time for the Tri-Cities' number one sports show. You're listening to the Doug and Daddy Show.
Victoria and Zaretska, you know, these Russians, they need to buy a vowel. Let me just say that. They need to buy a vowel with that first name.
Now coming to you live from the Midway Auto Dealership broadcast booth. Need a vehicle? Think Midway.com.
No. I don't think that's just it's minor. It's just a minor sin. It's a minor one. Well, I'm coming to you then for some of the major ones.
It's time for the Doug and Daddy Show.
Hey, good morning, everyone. Welcome to the Doug and Daddy Show. Whew. All the Christmas gift wrapping has been thrown away. We're recycling it. We've unwrapped all our recruits, and we're ready to go for 2015. National Letter of Intent signing day has passed us by, and that doesn't mean every school is done signing kids or bringing kids on campus, as we hear from almost every coach, and we will later in this show from Tony Harper out of Hastings College. 30 kids there. 40 kids at UNK, and we thank the gang up at UNK for hosting us yesterday and talking with Coach Lamerson and the things that they still have to get done. And we will also be talking with Sean Callahan. 20 kids sign. That's the tip of what Sean and all the analysts have been telling us. They kept throwing out the 18-19 number, even pre-Bo Pelini when he was still here. God, that was a good time. Anyway, we'll talk with Sean a little bit later on in the program. He's coming up in our next segment. Tony Harper in the second half of the show. Talk a little hoops as well. But Monty Kratzenstein in studio here today. Are you happy?
I'm always happy. What do you want me to specifically be happy about? Well, recruiting? Yes. You want to talk recruiting?
Well, I've got a couple questions, and then we've got a special guest in because it's special day. We like special days on the Doug and Daddy Show, and I'll explain all of that here in a second. But I did want to start off with why you're wearing the sleeveless ski vest. But
all the cool kids are doing it.
I was going to say it's fashionable again. You have taken us through this before, but I'm always... Just for the folks that are listening that haven't heard the story before, because it's a little different for everybody, recruiting for you was what, like what, and signing day was like what? Because I just tell me, because I know, but tell us anyway.
It was a big deal, Doug. It was a really big deal. I think, I don't know if I had a pen or a pencil at the time. It was just so different. And at that time, because there was a freshman program, we're talking, you know, this was a freshman team and almost everybody played freshman ball and then they redshirted. And then your third year, that was when it meant something, right? But you had to be invited still to walk on. So there was a recruiting process. My process was really pretty easy because I didn't have offers from other Division I schools. Wyoming was in the mix. It was between me and some guy from Colorado. We were one of those tweener guys for tight end. They kept calling, you know, going up until that time. We might have a scholarship for you. We don't know. They weren't honest enough to say, yeah, you're the second choice. And if this guy turns us down, then you could have a scholarship. But that was a big deal because I probably would have went to Wyoming on if they would have given me a scholarship. The day before they called, said, no, you know, but we'd love to have you come walk on. Well, I wasn't going to go walk on at Wyoming when they allowed me to go walk on Nebraska. And John Melton was our main recruiter at that time. Baby. And God, what a, you know,
no he stories there.
A million stories. And that guy was just something else. But it was just no big deal. You know, I mean, even though there was probably about four different guys from the area that walked on at that time. And I mean, it wasn't a big deal. And if you look back at it, that class of 1985 historically was one of the highest rated classes in the history of Nebraska football with Steve Taylor and Broderick Thomas and all these different players. So,
do you remember how many were in that class?
I think there was like 24. It was a
pretty big class. Yeah. It's comparable to what we still do.
Yeah, but they didn't have a rule of 85 at that time. So typically there was around 24 to 27 players that were signed to scholarships. But it's what's amazing about that. If you look at those 24 guys, the attrition is phenomenal. All these guys who never ever played a down, you know, you've heard me talk about that too. All these guys that have these hats and sign this stuff. There's a lot of them that don't ever play a down.
No. That was the benefit to the freshman program, but then they kind of got lost in the shuffle, I know, after that, because there were more kids.
Absolutely.
There were more kids.
Yep.
888-455-ESPN. That's our Kearney Chicken Coop fan line, 888-455-3776. You can always email the Dent Popper inbox, Doug and Daddy, at ESPNSuperstation.com, and the Twitter address is at ESPN1460-1550. Now, from time to time, we do like to try to help the community out. I say this tongue-in-cheek because I hope we do that every single day, but one of the things that the Doug and Daddy Show does is to various functions, we will say, you know what, if you are on a silent auction or a live auction or whatever, we will donate one of the Doug and Daddy Shows. And we have went to businesses. We've got involved with the Nebraska Children's Home by doing that in various ways. And today, people use that in different ways. And I like what we're going to do today. We're going to talk about heart disease for a little bit because it is February. And as I did some research, it is Heart Month. Thank God ours are still beating money.
Let me check. Yes. And if it isn't, we have the person in studio that could take care of you.
So, do you want to do the introduction or you want me to do the introduction? Because I got like this big spiel over here.
Oh, no. Give a spiel and then I can give the other part of it. I can give the real story after that.
So I'll give the official title.
Yeah.
Doctor. It's Dr. Shannon Hoos-Thompson, cardiologist, Platte Valley Medical Group, is with us in studios. Good morning, Shannon. Thanks for coming in.
Yeah. Hi, Doug. Thanks for having me.
Well, A, thanks for doing what you did just to purchase this hour of comedic stuff, and B, using it for a great cause that we can say near and dear to your heart, but we won't say it that way.
It truly is.
Tell us a little bit about why February is so important, and then we'll kind of go into some items that you guys have coming up here starting tomorrow.
Yeah, so February is National Heart Disease Awareness Month, and it's because heart disease is the number one killer, men, women, across the board. I'll play a game with you. You can have the next nine in the row of things that kill people, and you can add them all up. I'll still win. Heart disease kills more people than the next nine diseases combined. You can have every kind of cancer you want. You can have COPD, which is lung disease. You can have it all. I'll take heart disease. I'm going to beat you every time. So it's really important that people are more aware of what heart diseases as far as killing people, the cost it has to our communities, the people that are living with heart disease, and we need to be more aware about it, especially because we can do something to change that.
And unusually, not unusually, because it seems like every time we talk about a disease, there seems to be a certain part of the population, white, African-American, different parts of the country, men, women, and you're telling me that this is even tougher on women than it is on guys.
So I think the big news or the under-recognized news is that just as many women die of heart disease as men. So one in three women will die of cardiovascular disease. One in three men will die of cardiovascular disease. Unfortunately, when women have heart events, especially at younger ages, they do worse. So the therapies and ways we manage it in women don't have the same outcomes as it would in a man. And we need to be more aware of that, and we need to put more effort into managing that. And that's what tomorrow's about. And that's a lot of what we focus on, at least tomorrow and really all month for heart disease. But tomorrow it's about the women and heart disease.
And we've got a lot of things that are going to be going on with that. Again, we're talking to Dr. Shannon Hoos-Thompson, who says I don't have to call her doctor every time. But, you know, I'm not.
You're not a doctor. You're a formal guy.
I do what I can. Tomorrow, tell us about tomorrow. You're going to be up at Hy-Vee. You've got some special things going on. Give us the details.
Yeah. So tomorrow is National Go Red for Women Day. So if you do anything, don't do anything else, wear red tomorrow, okay? If you can, get up to Hy-Vee. We're going to be there all afternoon, starting about 1 o'clock to about 6 o'clock at night. The store is all in. They are going to have their food cart set up with samples, with heart-healthy samples and recipes. We're going to have drawings, giveaways, free blood pressure checks, a lot of information. Just get in the store, and we'll take it from there. You can buy, if you don't have a red shirt, you can buy a red shirt, and the donations from that shirt are going to go to the Go Red for Women American Heart Association Foundation. So we're doing things to make heart disease better. 80% of events, of heart disease events, can be prevented if you're just paying attention, if you're eating right, if you're healthy, if you don't smoke. If you can do these things, you don't have to spend a lot of money. You just make better choices, and we'll help you do that. And oh, by the way, it makes you feel better, not just have less heart events.
What do you think, Monty? Percentage of Nebraska population that doesn't own a red shirt? I'll buy one just for the contribution. But you had to, like, move here in the last week, right?
Yeah, it'd be
two. Josh Lamberson 2% may not have a red shirt.
He might not. So you can wear red tomorrow for the awareness. And, you know, it's interesting. Shannon and I have had a prior business working relationship before. I was in the business for about 13 years in cardiac care of patients, and we dealt with some of the same patients and so on. And she's exactly right when it comes to awareness. You know, everybody sometimes, when you talk about heart disease, they think about the typical heart disease patient of someone who's obese and doesn't get exercise and eats bad and those sort of things. And one of the processes of Go Red for Women is just an awareness of this doesn't just affect a small group of people. It doesn't affect a certain group of people. And that awareness is probably a big, big deal. You know, not to pick on the women, but women sometimes are a little bit more stubborn when it comes to recognizing symptoms and recognizing that they need to go to the doctor, probably because they're tougher than men.
Guys just won't go. Women just...
Well, you know, and they do that a lot. And she talked about, you know, at an early age and how the outcomes are worse for that. And so the awareness of doing the right things, but also recognizing symptoms and recognizing problems early is a big, big deal.
The great part here is Shannon's also going to have some questions for Sean Callahan on recruiting. So this isn't just smart doctor talk in American Heart Month and Go Red for a Women's Day. She's got a little sports knowledge.
Listen, maybe that's one of the reasons why we are friends is because you do have some sports knowledge.
Outside of work, we spend some time together.
Exactly. But first of all, I got to say a couple things. First of all, the fact that she puts up with her husband as much as she does, anybody that knows her husband knows, boy, what a, you know, she's got to be a saint right there for that guy. No. But the other part of it is she, you know, athletic career. She had she was a softball player for Creighton, a 3-year starter.
Yes.
See, there you go. And so she knows a little bit about sports from that side. Here's the other thing. How would you like your cardiologist to have a background in somewhat a background of ranching or come from cattle country? I want my cardiologist to know what a good steak looks like. So there's another piece.
You need one of those. Yeah.
Yeah. So there's another piece of the puzzle. So yeah, she's healthy,
right? Good steak's healthy.
You know, you can prepare it right in its quantity, and I would never ask one of my patients to become a vegetarian. Yeah, we can modify their diet, but I'm not giving up steak. Fourth-generation cattle rancher, my brother would disown me. my father would disown me, and I can't live through that. So I know the importance of what we do around here and what Nebraska's all about, and you can live a long, happy life, and your heart can be there right with you, and we can do it a certain way.
We're going to be talking about this throughout the program today, and as we said, Sean Callahan's going to join us, Tony Harper, Hastings College football coach. Monty mentioned it, and one more in this segment. How do you know? How do you know if you're having a heart problem besides, you know, maybe on the way to the hospital with a heart attack? I think that's what a lot of people think. And this isn't necessarily even what we're looking at here, is it?
Well, I can answer that in two ways. I think one is most people do know. You know, if you don't feel good and crawling out of bed every day is just a chore in itself. And if you're carrying too much weight and you know your blood pressure is not where it belongs and maybe your blood sugar, you're not a diabetic, but gosh, it's not normal either. I mean, most people kind of know and have a sense of their well-being. But silently, that's a problem. So when you talk about other diseases like cancer, once it's diagnosed, it's a very, you know, sad and long, drawn-out story. Heart disease is quietly killing you or building up in you, and then boom, you have that big turning event or drop off, and now you're living with it and the consequences of not dealing with things like high blood pressure, high blood sugars, where they're there, but you can live with them until all of a sudden you have a stroke, you have a heart attack, you know, you have a major event, a life-changing event, and now you're running uphill, whereas we could have made an even playing field a lot sooner if you just recognize, hey, ironically, 1 in 3 people die of heart disease. About 1 in 3 Americans are walking around with high blood pressure, high blood sugar or diabetes, or high cholesterol. And guess what? If you treat those three things, which may not make you feel terrible on a day-to-day basis, but if you control those things, that's where we can make a difference. And that's what we're trying to do is awareness of saying, hey, that's why we deal with this stuff, is so you don't have a heart attack. Or if you do, it's at 85 instead of 65.
We're sitting here, you know, even though you're the cardiologist, you know how people hate going to the doctors unless they absolutely have to. So without coming to visit you or doctors, what's the advice that you would give to people to say, hey, I want to check this out. I want to know how I'm doing.
So one, stop smoking or back off smoking cigarettes and nicotine and that stuff. It's the number one reason people have major health events, period. And that's a big deal. Cut back on the fatty foods, the high carbohydrates, things like that. It makes a difference. You know, get yourself at a healthy weight. You know, we can exercise all you want, and that's important too. But we all know you can eat 1,000 calories a lot quicker than you can burn 1,000 calories. So just be aware of what you're eating.
Amen. I know that. Yeah. I know that. I can. By the way, Shannon, do you know that a lot of our sponsors here are really good food places? So we're kind of in a little dilemma here.
But you know, they honestly, a lot of food places will have things marked on their menu. Hey, you know, yeah, this is probably a little less calories, a little less fat. If you eat this, and they do a good job of making it. The problem is we have to buy it. And I guarantee you more restaurants would put out a better menu or a heart-healthier menu if we would sit down and order it for them. You know what I mean? They're more than happy. Most businesses are more than happy, like Hy-Vee tomorrow. They're more than happy to show you those healthy food choices and give you that option. You have to take it.
Be up there tomorrow. Go Red for Women Day 1 to 6. They'll also be doing something at the Hilltop Mall, which we'll talk about a little bit later in the show. That's coming up on Saturday, the 21st. And Dr. Shannon Hoos-Thompson, cardiologist, Platte Valley Medical Group, is with us in studio on this day as we take care of this in February and hopefully take care of it every single day. But we also want to talk a little football. She's got questions for Sean. Monty's got questions for Sean. I might not have to ask any questions for Sean Callahan. Plus, Tony Harper, head football coach at Hastings College. We'll find out about his class as well. So stay with us here on the Doug and Daddy Show.
Family Physical Therapy and Sports Center, getting you back in the game of life. With two locations in Kearney, the Ortho Clinic at the Kearney Clinic and the Rehab Clinic at the ENT Building. Family Physical Therapy and Sports Center, excellence in rehabilitation. A very proud supporter of the area athletes in and out of the game. Locations serving Kearney, Lexington, Minden, Ravenna, and Wood River. Family Physical Therapy and Sports Center.
So you work late, golf, play ball, whatever. You're thinking,
if I could just have made happy hour, I got something good to eat after 10 at night.
Well, Jersey says come on in Monday through Thursday, 9 to 11, and enjoy late night happy hour for everyone who wishes they hadn't missed happy hour. And they're serving food till 11.
Seriously, why didn't I think of this?
Jersey Sports Bar, your true neighborhood sports bar where the grill and the game are always on. North 2nd Avenue, Vista Point Shopping Center.
ESPN Radio Superstation 1460 and 1550 Weather Eye Weather is brought to you by Farm Bureau Insurance agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers on North 2nd Avenue in Kearney.
Health insurance is changing. You have new options, but which one is right for you? As authorized independent agents for Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Nebraska, Farm Bureau Financial Service agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers know health insurance and can help you understand your options and the differences between them. Contact Rich Peters and Matt Myers and see how they can simplify the process and help you select the right health insurance policy for you and your family. Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Nebraska is an independent licensee of the Blue Cross and Blue Shield Association. Securities and services offered through FBL Marketing Services, LLC, affiliate Farm Bureau Financial Services.
Mostly sunny skies today with highs reaching to 40, south winds gusty at 10 to 20. Tonight, partly cloudy, a low of 27. Then into Friday, with more sunshine, we'll top off at 55. Right now, 21.
Doug and Daddy Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. See, this wants to make you go out and run right now, Monty. Little Chariots of Fire. Little feet
sure,
right there.
Sure, I'll take it.
I tried to run this morning, but it was a little slushy and icy, so I walked.
You know, one of the value of exercise is trying to figure out what you like to do there. And I knew early on that running was not for me.
I don't think that's considered exercise.
So
I found other things to do that are also good for my cardiovascular system.
A member of the class of 1985 for the Huskers, Monty Kratzenstein, co-hosting with me, Doug Duda, and also in studio today, Shannon Hoos-Thompson, who has a question or two, and I can't wait to pose those for our next guest, Sean Callahan of HuskerOnline.com, and has been very busy. And now it's like the day after Christmas, Sean, isn't it? Good morning.
Now I'm actually building my high school visit schedule for next week. I'm visiting five high schools Monday. People always like, oh, it slows down. But really, it doesn't quite slow down until after spring football because we try to get a jump start on things going forward. And we have 12 combines and 10 camps that Rivals and Under Armour is putting together in February, March, April, and May. So that keeps us pretty busy here until about Memorial Day.
And, of course, Sean will be finalizing his recruiting video. He'll be across the country. He'll be across the state of Nebraska. He will be in our Tri-Cities area February 24th, 25th, and 26th. On Tuesday the 24th, it's the Lark in Hastings with booster clubs from Hastings High, Adams Central, and St. Cecilia. You can find out more and get tickets at our Hastings studio or Big G Ace in Hastings or contacting the booster clubs. Wednesday the 25th, he'll be at Cunningham, same spot as all of our Husker lunches, and then at Bandits in Grand Island on Thursday, February the 26th. So putting that together, and Sean, if we may, where are some of the spots you're going to be hitting? Anything this way, or what are you going to be looking at in some of these high school visits?
You know, I'm just putting it all together right now. I mean, on the way, I know I'm looking at stopping at York and Aurora. I know York's got a couple of good players to look at. Aurora, even though they're losing the great Randy Hubert to Papillion La Vista, I know there's at least two guys they have on that roster. I don't know as far. I haven't really talked to Coach Cool yet at Cardi High, but there's a few kids, you know, just north, south. I mean, within an hour, hour and a half of Kearney and Grand Island that I'll be able to stop in and check. I'm just kind of putting that together. That's week three for me. I'm working on, usually I go Omaha week one, Lincoln, Norfolk area week two, and then everything central and west in my third week. So I kind of have a system I've been following for 10 years, and I try to keep it on that. That way it's pretty easy to cover the state in about 3 weeks.
This comes from Nate and Minden via the Dent Popper inbox. He says, I think Bo did a great job recruiting this year, and credit to Coach Riley for keeping them in and bringing in some other awesome kids. Excited for 2015. Go Big Red. Nate and Minden. Sean, Coach Riley has not been shy, as a majority of coaches would be, about referencing the previous staff, and he did an outstanding job with him and his staff to keep these kids, because that transition year usually is a killer in recruiting. Just your thoughts on how that all went down.
Yeah, just the timing of when a guy gets fired in December, November, it's hit and miss because, you know, when you fire a guy, let's just say Thanksgiving weekend, at that point you have 2 weeks for December recruiting. And a lot of times you don't get your things done in time to get a coach out on the road to cover those 2 weeks of recruiting. Well, Sean Eichhorst, as we know, fired Bo Pelini on a Sunday, hired Mike Riley on a Thursday, introduced him on a Friday morning, and by that following Monday, he was out on the road. And I truly believe those 5 to 6 days that Mike Riley spent on the road in December is what allowed this class to stay where it was at. They kept 10 of the Bo Pelini guys, and they lost two of them, Reuben Jones and Kendall Bussey, but I think those guys were always kind of looking for the next best thing regardless. They cut a couple of guys loose. Nikhil Lundy from Georgia had academic issues. He never ended up signing anywhere. And then Kevin Dillman, I think everybody can agree now, that was a mistake by the first staff. He signed with North Texas, so it kind of gives you an idea of the level of talent he was at after Nebraska let him loose. You know, he ended up signing in the Sun Belt Conference. And then they lost Mirko Jurkovic before the new staff got hired. He ended up switching to Ohio State. So they kept 10 guys, though, and I thought that was important that they got in front of those key players in December. Then they had that one recruiting weekend in December as well. When you look back at it, they got every guy that was in Lincoln. It was the Saturday of the Cincinnati basketball game, and Mike Riley had a skeleton staff of about 5 assistants. Ryan Gunderson was here. And that was about it. I mean, he had 6 people to put together that weekend with, And, you know, that's how they were able to get the big lineman down in Oklahoma. Matt Snyder, the tight end, came in that weekend. Adrian Talon, the linebacker. Every one of those guys. And that was, to me, kind of set the tone for the rest of the recruiting year for him.
Sean, this is Monty Kratzenstein. Before we get into the specific players of this class and your thoughts on that, what, in your opinion, is different about this staff than maybe the last staff? And I'm not looking for necessarily good, bad, or otherwise. Just what is different, your impressions, at least after the first couple months of this staff?
You know, it's hard to say anything vast at this point just because we haven't seen them, you know, enough to know, you know, for sure how they're going to be in a full year. But what we've seen in just about a month or 2 months is I think there's just a better organizational plan. You know, there are times where 10 guys were out on the road, and, you know, it was hard to follow because they were all over the place. But they have a plan, and I think they have a really good support staff built. Mike Riley, you know, brought over every single one of, you know, his guys to build a recruiting office. They just kept one guy up there, Kenny Wilhite, and he built that office and built it the way he wanted, and he lets those guys do their jobs. I mean, I think before you had a lot of people up there, and they did a decent job at times, but they didn't have as much experience as the staff Mike Riley's built behind the scenes. Right now, you know, there's three guys up there that make six figures to manage and help run the behind-the-scenes recruiting and things. And before, you had just one in Jeff Jamrog. And then besides those three six-figure positions now, Dave Van Dierite, Ryan Gunderson, and Andy Vaughn, there's a bevy of about 8 or 10, you know, $30,000 to $60,000 a year guys that all they do is do recruiting, and they work right underneath that recruiting staff. And Mike Riley lets those guys do their job. He doesn't get in their way. He does, you know, they create a plan on social media. And I think that's been what I've been most impressed with is how they run the program behind the scenes from an organizational standpoint.
Sean Callahan, Husker Online. He's been doing this, since he was old enough to realize that he wasn't going to get offered a national letter of intent. So he's following it just like I do. And
just about.
Sean, Doug Duda along with Monty Kratzenstein, class of 85 walk-on. We'll get to that as well. But Sean, it's American Heart Month, and we've kind of got a special show today because with us in studio is Dr. Shannon Hoos Thompson. She's a cardiologist here at Platte Valley Medical Group, and she's got a question because there's no quarterback in this class. A walk-on, they listed Wyatt Missouri as an athlete, a couple of there. So Shannon's got a question for you. Go ahead, Shannon.
All right.
Yeah, hi, Sean. So this is really from my husband, but I think it's important stuff. One, talking about the system and the staff that's now in place, how do they feel about the quarterback situation as far as guys we have on campus right now?
Well, that right now will be what they're going to have a lot of fun with. They're going to start spring practice in a month, and you know, they've made no bones about it. Tommy Armstrong is the leader in the clubhouse, and he should be. He has 20 career starts underneath his belt. No other quarterback in the program right now has started the game. You got Riker Fife, who's played some snaps. Johnny Stanton, very limited snaps. A.J. Bush is a rising guy that has a lot of arm talent. Zach Darlington, we don't know much about because of the concussions he's gone through. But they're going to have, I think, a very interesting spring just to kind of test drive each quarterback and see what they can do. And then they're going to build that offense around the strengths. So I think today you'd have to say Armstrong has the advantage. But guys like Stanton and Fife, they're working really hard because they know this is a fresh audition for them to come in. No one's going to have the upper hand on the playbook or anything at this point. So I think that's why I think this red-white game and everything going forward will be really exciting to watch.
Yeah, so my follow-up to that is knowing that you're building a new system, a new mentality, is did they ever consider about going after a guy like Joe Burrows, who committed to Ohio State but kind of has some relationship with Nebraska, and maybe he would have been a good guy bringing into this class, or what are we building for the future, especially when quarterbacks seem to be the way to play these days? You got to have the right quarterback or your system doesn't go.
Okay, first of all, I'm pretty impressed that you know Joe Burrow. you're doing your homework, I see, but this new staff definitely was interested in Joe Burrow. Mike Riley had multiple conversations with Joe and his father, Jimmy. And I've known Jimmy for over 10-plus years. I've known Jamie for 15, Jimmy's oldest son. So all along, he wanted to be a Husker. And somewhere down the line, that ball got dropped.
Yeah.
The previous staff at Nebraska obviously knew about Joe. He had visited Nebraska at least twice. But, you know, he just kind of, I don't want to say got the runaround, but never got the VIP treatment. And he had some offers when he was here, but not near the clout he ended up getting. And by that point, Nebraska was just out of it. And then Urban Meyer offered and Ohio State offered. Well, when Tim Beck got hired at Ohio State, there was some initial thought that Burrow would not want that to be his quarterback coach because Tim Beck chose not to offer him at Nebraska. Well, that all got kind of taken care of. Joe Burrow was first in-home visit he made after Urban Meyer won the national title. The first in-home visit he made was with Tim Beck, and they kind of sealed things at that point. And he's loyal to Ohio State. You know, they offered him, and he's Mr. Ohio 2 years in a row, and he's kind of a local legend out there now. And he, you know, I think he's very appreciative of Urban Meyer that he offered him. And even though the competition is going to be very steep there, he was a man of his word, and he wasn't going to back out of that commitment to Ohio State.
Sean, I know that everybody...
I'm worried, by the way. I'm not necessarily worried, but I think if I ever get a day off, I found two people that can just take over the show, and I don't have to worry about being here anymore. So we can pencil you guys in.
Don't kid yourself, Doug. We're just the temps. Hey, one thing I always want to know about Sean is everybody loves to talk about running backs and quarterbacks, and maybe deservedly so, because Shannon is absolutely right. You have to have a quarterback to run the system. But talk a little bit about the offensive linemen, because in my opinion, that's the area where if you watch those top teams, that's the area that we need to get better, you know, not just next year, but in the future. We have to be better at offensive line. Could you talk a little bit about this class of offensive linemen?
Yeah, I think, you know, starting with a year ago, they brought in a very good class. DJ Foster from Lincoln Southeast, Tanner Farmer out of Illinois, and then Nick Gates out of Las Vegas. Those three guys are going to be, you know, starters in this program someday. And I feel like this year they followed up with that nicely. Jalen Barnett, you know, he's a guy that's bound to be a starter here. They really think he's a high-profile lineman. You have Christian Gaylord out of Baldwin City, Kansas, a big tackle body, and then Michael Decker from Omaha North. I like all six of those players. I think, you know, and the old staff gets credit for all those guys except Jalen Barnett. That was a guy that the new staff found and got here. But I think those six players are the foundation for the future. This year, Nebraska in 2015 has six scholarship offensive linemen in the program. And once those guys graduate, the six players I just mentioned are going to be counted on heavily. There's a few other guys ahead of them as well, older, but we just haven't seen enough for them to know where they're going to be at yet either. So not only this year's recruiting class getting three players, well, in 2016, Nebraska is going to probably have to take about five offensive linemen. They already have two of them locked up. John Reardon out of Des Moines, Iowa, who's the number one player in Iowa right now. He's a son of a former Husker. Brian Brokop out of Chicago is arguably the top lineman in Chicago, and they're really trying to work on Matt Farniak from Sioux Falls, who's probably the most high-profile South Dakota player in a number of years. He's a four-star guy as well, and Stanford and Missouri just offered him this week. But Nebraska's kind of been the leader on that kid, and if they can get those three guys with a couple more, I think the offensive line recruiting is really back on track, and they'll have some good numbers to work with.
A couple minutes left here with Sean Callahan on the Doug and Daddy Show, going over Nebraska's recruiting class real quick. Bubba Starling now will be completely out of the mix with the new staff. Is that true?
Well, Bubba's on the 40 man, right? Or he's on the he got
invited to camp, yeah, for the Royals.
Well, that's not necessarily the case. I mean, I've had a few people with the new staff ask about him, and, you know, they definitely are very well aware of Bubba. So I wouldn't say the ship has sailed all the way. I mean, Bo Pelini and his staff actually kept contact with the Starling family. In fact, they did visit his parents and stuff within the recruiting rules this past year and kept that door open continually. And they were kind of hoping that would be something in their back pocket. But now going forward, I think he could still be on the radar with this new staff if Bubba quit baseball. It's just a matter of what Bubba wants to do. You know, I'm sure somebody like, if he decides to go back to college, Bill Snyder would love to have him because he would kind of fit that Colin Klein-type quarterback that Snyder had a lot of success with the last few years down at Kansas State.
Last commit was linebacker Adrian Talon yesterday. Nebraska really, I don't want to say threw together, but the last five guys, I guess, were within this last week here. Everybody's wondering about linebacker. Give me something on Talon and who is the best out of the group.
Of the guys down the stretch, first off, I really liked Reed, the guy they brought over late. Even though he's a two-star, I think he could be a player. I think Alston, the receiver, is really good get late. And then I think the guy that could end up being a star, as long as he can get here, I know there's a few academic hurdles still, but Muhammad Berry is really talented. I think he could be a big-time linebacker. I know watching the film at the recruiting dinner last night, that was the guy everybody was like, wow. I mean, he was really a powerful, explosive player with all his tackles. But back to Talon, you know, he's a guy that almost could be a strong safety, 6'1", 210, but he's very athletic, very fast. You know, he kind of kept the staff waiting there. They expected him to commit, but he really drugged that thing out to the final minute. So they were joking that Trent Bray is the youngest guy on the staff in his like early 30s, but he got a few gray hairs yesterday waiting on that announcement from Adrian Talon.
Sean, last kind of line of questioning here I want to talk a little bit about walk-ons because that process has changed just a little bit over the years. It seems like the quality of walk-on that we've had we've had less walk-ons, but the quality has been good. Just looking at the kids that have already committed to walk-on at Nebraska, it seems like that quality is pretty darn high. You agree, disagree?
Yeah, I want to say surprised, but you know, you're talking about a staff of guys that have really no inner knowledge of Nebraska high school football, no connections to high school coaches. So they, for them to put together this early list, there's actually nine on it. They only listed like seven of them yesterday, but there's nine confirmed at this point, and a couple from your area, Connor Young out of Cozad being one of them. You know, Noah Johnson from Sutton wasn't on the list yesterday, but he's a confirmed walk-on to our knowledge. I know we confirmed it with him. Brody Cleveland, a great linebacker out of Ogallala, couple kids from Gretna, but I think Wyatt Mizur, if I were to rank priority walk-on guys, he was my number one. I mean, that was the guy you had to get. And, you know, I think he could end up being, you know, who knows? I mean, what he could do at Nebraska. But just watching him throughout his career, and particularly the state championship game, I was right there on the sidelines for NET. You know, you just don't know what a guy like that could do once he gets in a place like Nebraska. So I've been impressed. I'd imagine they'll take five, six more guys if they can. They're grading them out where if a guy is a one, he's an automatic offer, we'll take him now. If he's a two, we like him, but we need to evaluate our numbers. And there's a lot of guys in that two category. I know one of them is Chase Hazelwood at Elkhorn. He was Elkhorn's best player. Very interested in walking on, but they're kind of looking at their numbers. He actually turned down a UNK offer to kind of wait out this Nebraska situation. And then if you're a three, that just means that they don't think it's a good fit for you. So they're kind of establishing that system. They want to hire somebody to run that and manage that and be a liaison to the in-state coaches, and I think that makes a lot of sense.
Sean, I think I was a four back in 1985. I think I might have been. I snuck in the back door, though.
Ouch. Ouch. A four. Shannon, anything else you want to ask Sean before we let him go?
No, but I have to comment. I'm not a flash and fast player kind of person. I believe the big games, the seasons are made in the trenches. So offensive line, defensive line, that's where you get it done. And so if we're not recruiting and taking care of our front line, it's not pretty, but it's where you get it done. So I hope Nebraska, that's how we're building our future.
Perfect example was look at Wisconsin and what they did to Auburn. Auburn has all the flashy 4- or 5-star fast kids, but they didn't want any part of going against Wisconsin's offensive and defensive lines in that bowl game, particularly the offensive line where, you know, they just blew them off the ball. And if you can do that, you can win a lot of football games.
Yeah, we were talking about the power of beef. In the meal, and I would tell you Nebraska is never going to change, so we have to be about the beef up front before everything else falls into place.
should be exciting to watch, guys.
All right, Sean, American Heart Month. I know you're in shape because you work out all the time and you eat healthy and you're just, you know, perfect specimen of a recruiter.
I kind of break even because I don't know if I eat healthy all the time. So
you're on that
band. I probably have these guys on for a reason to make sure I don't eat a bad lunch here when I get off the phone.
You're on that banquet circuit. That's the problem, is you get invited to all these places and there's probably always good food around.
Yeah, it's not easy. I'll put it that way.
Sean, we'll let you go. I know you're a busy man. Always appreciate the time on the Doug and Daddy Show, and we'll see you up here in the Tri-Cities the 24th through the 26th, and we'll chat then.
Hey, thanks a lot, guys.
Take care. Sean Callahan, Husker Online, joining us here in the Midway Auto Dealership broadcast booth. Midway Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, Midway Chevrolet Buick Cadillac GMC. They understand that every driver wants to shop for a car differently. Midway invites you to explore their new car and used car showrooms in Kearney. If you're not looking to buy new, they're sure to have a used car in Kearney that's a perfect match for you. Choose from the large selection of gently owned cars, trucks, SUVs, vans, crossovers, and more. Their inventory listings are complete online at thinkmidway.com with photos, pricing, and all the specs. Whatever you prefer, just know that their expert staff is renowned in and around Kearney for their ability to listen to the driver's needs and help them find just the right car and services to suit their lifestyle. Stop on out and see the great gang at Midway Chevrolet Buick Cadillac GMC and Midway Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, South 2nd Avenue in Kearney, or go to thinkmidway.com. We'll talk Hastings College football coming up in a moment with head coach Tony Harper.
Since the dawn of time, the land has been nurtured, first by the hands of nature and then by the hands of man. Farming is a way of life here. Today's farmer has a feel for the land, a knowing touch that shows in the riches of the harvest. And for years, they've depended on CHS Agri-Service Center to help them. CHS is a locally owned and locally controlled, so the people behind the counters and on the phones are the people you've known for years, people you can rely on. There's a CHS Service Center near you, and always here at chsagri.com.
Where you're a neighbor, not a number, we're Custom Pack.
This week at Custom Pack of Hastings, get 80% lean ground beef in 5-pound bags, only $3.68 a pound. Lean center cut pork chops, only $2.77 a pound. And a 5-pound bag of breaded chicken nuggets, only $8.95 each. It's all at Custom Pack, 601 West J.
At Custom Pack, you're a neighbor, not a number. You'll have fun, fun, fun when you make it Fonner Park.
Take a lunch break today at Fonner Park's Finish Line Restaurant and Sports Lounge. Choose from a fantastic variety of sandwiches, charburgers, clubhouse Rubens, bacon cheeseburgers, French dips, and more. Delicious specialty salads, too. And check today's $6.25 special. Enjoy full bar service, play live draw keno, watch and wager on nationwide racing at the Finish Line, number one for food and fun.
It's the look in their eyes, the smile on their lips, and the big hug you get when you make your Valentine feel extra special with a Valentine's Day gift from Bob Sass Flowers. Hi, this is Dave from Bob Sass Flowers. Let us clue you into some of the latest Valentine's Day trends in gorgeous roses, colorful cut flowers, and unique gifts. But you'll see more when you visit our store, Bob Sass Flowers, 2618 West 2nd in Hastings, open Monday through Saturday. Order by phone at 402-462-2179.
The number one high school team in America is coming to the Heartland Hoops Classic. Oak Hill Academy arrives undefeated, ranked nationally for 31 of the last 39 seasons. And this year they'll face Omaha South, also nationally ranked and the number two team in Nebraska. The Heartland Hoops Classic is February 14th, also featuring Amherst Ravenna, St. Cecilia BDS, Omaha Scott Norfolk Catholic, Aurora GICC, and Elkhorn South Columbus Scopes. Tickets good for all sessions are available at the Heartland box office or via Ticketmaster.
Doug and Daddy Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Doug Dudem, Monty Kratzenstein. I was going to say, I sound like the Oklahoma State announcer, don't I?
Ah, they had Kratzenstein.
I'm still looking for more good stuff on that, by the way.
Keep looking.
And Shannon Hughes Thompson is in here with us today, the cardiologist at Platte Valley Medical Group, because it is American Heart Month. They will be up at Hy-Vee for Go Red for Women Day tomorrow from 1 to 6 and doing a variety of things, giving you options to help your health, eat right, and just make some awareness out there, Shannon.
Yeah, just know that your heart matters in case you didn't. And just know that you can take care of it without a doctor. But if you need a doctor or something more, we're there for you.
Also, she knows a little bit about her sports as well. And Tony Harper, who, you know, he's not like some of his assistant coaches over there. He doesn't run around with his shirt off and you know, carry weights up and down campus all the time and go into the tanning bed. But you do have plenty of time to keep yourself healthy, don't you, Harp?
You know, I do my best to kind of move around and do something. I just yell a lot, basically all I do.
Is that cardiovascular exercise, Doc? If you yell a lot?
That's more cardiopulmonary. But it is affecting something.
You know, Harp, how you look at some of the pamphlets. There's the stuff that has on here, you know, don't smoke, make healthy food choices, the things we all know, but they have to put in writing. And I kidded Shannon during the break here. They have back-to-back to help your heart, lower your stress level, and limit your alcohol intake. Well, aren't those hand in hand? I mean, what did I miss here? I mean, you know, come on. Is that not the way you take care of stress? I just probably made somebody unhappy with that.
Sometimes you teeter, sometimes you totter. Can you balance it out?
I like that. That should be a theme. Harpo, we won't get you too deep into this trouble here. Let's talk about your football program. You had 30 kids as of yesterday. We know there'll be more coming along the lines. Just your overall thoughts on the class here. You're like the only non-new coach we've had to talk to the last couple of days.
Well, you know, I'm going to give you the standard coach speak answer.
Attaboy. Attaboy.
Hey, we are extremely excited and fired up for our class. How's that for an answer?
Haven't heard that one yet.
Here's what I will tell you, though. These guys, they are good young men. They come from good families. We feel like we kind of changed up our recruiting process this year. We want to focus a little bit more within the state. I think we were able to get some good guys that come from great programs. We were able to dip into some out-of-state places that we haven't been able to do before, and we really like. We felt some needs. We feel like we filled those needs, but like you say, we're going to keep going.
Coach, I know last year you talked a little bit about, I remember last year you talking about getting guys from successful programs and how they were winners and they were used to winning and so on, and you just mentioned addressing a need. Going into this, what were some of your needs that you felt like you needed to address?
Well, you know, we bring back four of our five starting offensive linemen and then a fifth guy that started a lot for us last year but was injured. You know, we lose Tanner Paxton, who is an All-American for us, so we feel like we always have to go out and get a couple old linemen every year in the first cycle, another two or three in the second cycle, and we felt like we were able to do that this year with the three big guys we got. And then defensive line, with us going to a four-man from a three-man front, we need to fill those holes on the edge. A guy that's kind of an aerodynamic guy, and then get a guy, put him in the middle. He's got a little bit bigger of a butt to push that offensive line back. So we felt like we filled that need. And then we were pretty heavy on receivers this year. We felt like we were pretty good on the outside, but we need some slot receivers. So we went out and identified quite a few of those guys.
Talking here with Tony Harper, yeah, wide receiver. I noticed you brought a few of those on campus, and you told us your philosophy a lot on quarterbacks. You'll bring a lot of quarterbacks on because you believe they're the best athlete on the field, and you've kind of got a good stable right there right now. But what about attacking the wide receiver position? Was that a position of need?
It is a big position of need. You know, we're feeling pretty comfortable on the edge with Noah House coming back and Austin Curley coming back, two all-conference performers for us last year. You know, Austin's 6'3", 6'4", Noah's about 6'4", 6'5", but we needed some interior help, some of those slot receivers that can do some screen games and do some drags and different things like that. And you kind of got to have a different mindset if you're one of those little slot receivers, so because you're going to get banged around by those linebackers on the crossing routes and you're going to take some pops. So we needed to go out and find some guys that were mentally tough and physically tough to be able to do those different things and kind of stress the defense so guys couldn't double up on either Noah and or Austin to kind of free those for some one-on-one games like that. So that was a big need for us this year.
Coach, looking at your list, you know, one of the big things we always talk about is local guys versus outstate guys. Look like you got some frequent fire or frequent driving miles in with some of the outstate guys. You want to talk about that?
Yeah, you know, we were able, you know, with us losing Jordan Wallman, an all-conference tight end for us, and with as much as we utilize a tight end in our offense, we had to go and find two or three guys that we felt like could help us with that. And one of them, you know, fortunately is from Sandhills Thedford, big old Justin Lee. We're excited about him. I know that's not out of state, but that's kind of a long drive up there. But He's a good young man and a very athletic kid. We've seen him play a couple basketball games. And then we were able to get a big tight end out of Northern California by the name of Wyatt Clement. He's about 6'5", 235, 240. And he's a pretty athletic guy, big physical guy, so we were excited to get him. Went into Colorado, got some really good football players, got an offensive lineman from Cherry Creek by the name of Kevin Park. Think he's going to be really good. Jeremiah Hodges, a D lineman from Cherokee Trail. He's a guy that visits a lot of RMAC schools that we feel very fortunate to get. And, you know, I would love to have said we went down to Florida to visit the receiver that we got down there, because if I would have, I would have missed all this snow that we had the past few days, I'll tell you that. But, you know, Jaden Sanchez, he's a dynamic athletic receiver. His head coach is actually a guy that myself and Coach K coached on another staff at a different school, and he kind of turned us on to Jaden. And funny story about Jaden, I think one of the biggest reasons he decided to come up here was we got a rodeo team, because he rides during the summer and stuff. So it worked out pretty well, and we're excited to have him up here. We're going to make sure he comes up in about June or July, though, so he misses all this snow.
You just got two fist pumps in here from Monty and Shannon on that rodeo deal. You know that, right?
Well, you're talking about Thedford kids. You're talking about the Lee family from Thedford, and we know I know a little bit about them from the Panhandle and their rodeo stuff. And yet, I can see a theme going here, Coach.
Hey, I'll tell you what, you give me anybody that's going to put on a pair of boots and Wranglers and get on top of a horse, man, I'll take you all in a heartbeat. I like those kids.
Oh, I can find you somebody. I can find you some. Heck, they're at Amherst, they're at Hemingford, and they're anywhere in between, brother. I know you can't talk about them yet, but let's talk about some of the kids that are right here in the Tri-Cities. If I got this right, I have four of them highlighted, two from Grand Island, Blaine Morrow, defensive tackle at Senior High, and Taylor Willis of Northwest, and we kind of talked about the wide receiver. There at St. Cecilia, you've got Sam Young on the O-line, and I know you're fired up about linebacker Nathan Howe over at Kearney Catholic. So if you could give us just a quick snippet on those local kids.
I tell you what, you look at all those are programs that are winning games every year, year in and year out. They come from great programs with great head coaches. Blaine Morrow, you know, he's a big-bodied guy that we got a lot of expectations for Blaine. He's also going to come here and throw shot and disc for the track team. And he's just a big body that knows how to work hard. Willis, that slot receiver, I went and watched him play basketball the other day against Adams Central. He's a guy that's cat quick. He can get up and down the court. So obviously that's going to transcend into the slot position. Sam Young, coming from St. Cecilia, you know, a bigger body type of guy, an all-state kid. So always trying to replenish those ranks. We're looking at him at either the guard or tackle position. And Nathan Howe at Kearney Catholic. I mean, I'm going to tell you, watching his film, I knew he was a good football player. But when that young man and his family came on campus way back in early January, I just like his composure. I like his attitude. He was ready to get to work that day. We watched some film. I just like the attitude that those four guys, but especially Nathan, comes with. I mean, they're ready to play, and we're excited to have them.
Well, the young man is very mature because he's had to overcome the fathering. So, you know.
hey, there's some.
I'm not touching that one right there.
Well, you don't have to, Coach. We will. You know, there's some genetics involved. I'm glad that, like a lot of our kids, they've overcome those genetics, you know. So, yeah, I'm happy that he's going to be local. It'll be fun to follow him.
Scott's overcome those numerous concussions so well, and we're so glad about that. Coach, a couple more, and we'll let you out of here. As we mentioned, there's always more to come. Can you address what's still in the future and what position or positions that you still need to shore up before spring ball?
You know, a couple of positions that we're looking at extremely hard is tailback. Obviously, we bring Jake Fowler and Romero Flores back, two guys that split time last year. We got a young man coming off a redshirt year, but we want to bring in a couple impact tailbacks that could compete with those guys, push them, and just kind of see who the best man is, could come out and split those carries and reps during the game. Obviously, again, slot receiver, we've done a pretty good job inside. Now we still want to go get one or two more on the outside. And then probably the last deal is a outside linebacker, a guy that could go on the roof and come down and hit that alley pretty hard, and he's kind of a field general out there. So those are the positions that we will continue to identify throughout the rest of this second wave and third wave of recruiting.
And, Tony, I want to make sure this gets mentioned because a lot of people may not realize it when they pick up the paper today or look at what was posted on TV last night or on the Hastings College website. Emotion in football always seems to be banging your head against a locker or something like that. But you guys did a really cool thing and added on your commit list J.J. Vanderheiden out of York, who passed away here a couple of weeks ago. And I just want to say I think that's a pretty classy deal.
I appreciate you saying that. Our thoughts and prayers are with his family. They're a great family, and he will always be a Bronco. Once a Bronco, always a Bronco.
Coach, anything else you wanted to mention about your class before we let you get back to work? And I know you got to get to the suntan bed here.
If I'm going to go to the suntan bed, I'm going to have to kick Coach Mulring out because you know he's probably shining that dome up right now.
SPF 45 on that, baby. Put a hat on, brother. Tony.
There you go. So, no, I ain't got nothing. We're excited. I appreciate you guys calling and doing everything you do for us, and we're looking forward to it.
Do you have spring ball opening date set?
We do. I'm actually working on it right now. We will have our first spring practice on April 7th, right after Easter break. We're going to crank out 4 weeks of four times a week, and we're going to get after it, and it's going to be a fun time.
All right, buddy. We will talk to you before then, so enjoy it, and thanks for the time.
I appreciate y'all. Thank you.
That's Tony Harper, head football coach at Hastings College, and I'll have to come front with that Vanderheiden deal. I want to start with that. We get it yesterday. We're putting together all the sound bites, concentrating on the Huskers and UNK. I'm highlighting the local kids, and it didn't really hit me till this morning that name was on there. And, of course, Glenn Snodgrass, who I've known since he played football, the coach there, and it was just a tragic situation, and that happens from time to time. And what a classy move by Hastings College.
Agree 100%.
What about playing GPAC, NAIA level, not GPAC level? There's NAIA level, there's UNK level, Division II, there's Husker level, there's Ohio State level, however you want to look at it. It takes a special young athlete at all of those, but when you're playing for the love of the game, I think, at the Division III level, there's a lot of things that go into that. It's not as easy, I guess. There's no training table. There's no over-the-top Division I perks at this level.
I've talked about that with a lot of different people. And, you know, Shannon, you were at Creighton, and pretty high level of athletic facilities and athletic system there. It's not for everybody. Small college sports is not for everybody. And, you know, all these kids, as they're growing up, they say, I want to play college. They have Division I aspirations, but then they kind of realize and they say, I want to play college sports. You know, I followed my nieces, you know, playing through. My nephew played small college. You know, you go into these gyms and these football games, and there's less people there than, you know, when you were in high school.
Yeah.
You know, and the long bus rides, and, you know, still taking classes and going through that. It's not easy. And so, but the point is, just what you said, a tremendous amount of heart and effort and all those sorts of, it's special, you know, and I can speak for, you know, my nieces or my relatives' standpoint where, you know, their very best friends still today are because of that sort of thing.
Yeah, I would tell you, so you're the class of 85, I was a class of 95, and the people I may not talk to for 6 months or 6 years, and I call them up tomorrow and say, hey, I'm going to be in your town, and you pick up right where you left off. I was in Baltimore this past weekend and saw a good friend who was on the volleyball team the same time I was on the softball team at Creighton. I hadn't seen her since her wedding 4 years ago, and we stayed up till 2 in the morning just hanging out at her house. We didn't have to go anywhere. We didn't have to do anything. It's just a bond that you cannot put into words. It's just there, and it's real, and it lasts.
And it doesn't matter.
So it's worth it.
And it doesn't matter if you're an NFL player, if you're a Division I player, or if you're playing for NAI school, or it is the same thing. Because, the you know, I don't want to be cliche, but the battles or the things you go through, no matter what level you are the same. You have that common denominator with those people that never goes away.
You can be a completely type of person, completely different background, and for whatever reason you stick it out together in those years, good, bad, weather, coaches, other people on your team. I don't know what it is that again, no common background, no common future, but for that time period, something brings you together in a way. I mean, your souls are meshed, and it matters. I mean, Monty talks about friends that he still is very close with. those are the most important people in my life. As far as when I'm facing difficult situations, difficult times, I know I'll get up and we'll deal with it because they believe in me and they know I can do it, not because I know I can do it. Those people know it before you do.
You guys are both at Division I schools, but it was Nebraska. Do you think the smaller the school, the tighter the family is? Or because maybe Hastings has more Nebraska kids, or does that make any difference?
No, a team's a team. When you're on a team and you're committed to that team and they're committed to you, there's no such thing as a perfect player. You can have a perfect team because the way you pick each other up and you develop each other.
And I agree with that. The one thing I would say is even down at a place like Nebraska where there's 100-plus, you're tight with that special kind of bond with a certain number of them. And then you can't be friends with everybody. You have that bond with everybody.
But there's a respect and an appreciation for that person being a part of your team.
Yeah.
And I came back today because of the snow yesterday, the signings for a lot of the kids around the area. You want to have the ceremony. You want to have KHAS and NTV and what is it now, Nebraska TV, referring back to the old days, or the newspaper there to take the pictures, or the radio there to have some clips, and we'll have them from the kids. But Kearney High was today. Kearney Catholic will be this afternoon. I know that's the way it is in Hastings and Grand Island. Johanna Guyfon signing with Wyoming, just one of them yesterday. But you go up there today, and you see, you know, Kelsey Stidham's going to go to UNO and play soccer. You got Brian Arp. He's going to go play football at Ohio, but he's got two of his high school teammates right there. One's going to go to Northwest Missouri and Eli Keller. Their first game will be on his high school field, if he plays as a freshman or not, whatever, but he'll be back here. And then you've got Brockton Sterling going out to Colorado Mines, some RMAC there. Got Peyton Pocock's going to stay right here. It's just they're all there today as classmates and, for the guys, teammates. And I get that feeling that in 5 years they're still going to be teammates no matter what happens in college.
You know, not to get on a soapbox about recruiting and whatnot, because I get the idea of recruiting and how important it is. I absolutely do. All you have to do is turn on the TV and watch how important it is to have those quality of athletes. I somehow and that has filtered down to all levels. You mentioned all those kids going everywhere, and you know, and I think they should be honored and respected for what they've been through and getting the opportunity to play another level, whatever that level is. But the pomp and circumstance and the drama and all that stuff is so unappealing to me because, you know, again, they haven't done anything yet.
Right.
I mean, they haven't done a thing yet, and they're there, and it's all this great deal. And we played with kids that were so hyped and so all this and all that. And then when they get there, they, for whatever reason, whether it's them or whether it's their situation or whether it's injuries or whatever, This should not be a big deal to them, the signing part. This should be a beginning of what's going to happen later.
This is opportunity. I think the problem is people focus on potential, and potential is a very dangerous word in sports. To have potential means that something's not clicking. If you still have more potential that's not coming out of you, there's something missing. And I think so any player that you say, oh, they got a lot of talent, a lot of potential, and yet that potential doesn't consistently manifest, that's something you need to have a conversation about with whoever's involved, because I think those are the kids at risk and who don't meet what everybody thought their expectation or outcome would be.
And these a lot of kids will have heart, and that gets us back to what we're talking about here a little bit with Shannon as well. But you got to have that heart to go on to that next level. And I think the kids with potential, with heart, are then the ones that really explode. They're the ones that do become your All-Americans and such like that. And again, we thank Shannon for coming in. We're not done yet. Monty has a couple more football comments that he wants to take a look at. We got a little basketball update, but we need to take a break. Before we do, our Midtown Mart cooler question. Midtown Mart of Hastings, home of the coldest beer and coolest topics. I know you have an opinion on yesterday's question, Monty. Which team has the best chance to win the Stanley Cup, Anaheim or Tampa Bay?
Oh, those are classic college are cocky places. First of all, it isn't anything to do with college, so I don't know anything about it. But secondly, isn't there a Canadian team in the choice? I mean, Tampa Bay and Anaheim, they don't have ice there, do they?
You just go straight to Canada, huh?
That's me. What, is the Canadians involved in this? Maybe the
Americans
Bruins
have stolen all the Canadians, and now we own the ice.
Jeez.
Well, the Storm do. They've got 8 in a row as they get ready for this weekend.
I know your tongue was in cheek when you said I had an
opinion. Night.
Yes. I'm flipping a coin right now between Anaheim and Tampa Bay. I don't know.
67% of our listeners took Anaheim. 33% took Tampa Bay. Today, you can vote at ESPN Super superstation.com. This conversation has come up again. Do you like NCAA conference basketball tournaments? Or should they just go on to the postseason, do whatever they want to do? I know Connie Yori hates the way that their women's season is so big in the Big Ten, then they cram that conference tournament in, and then you sit around because you need to do it for TV or whatever reason. So I think depending on where you're, which conference you're in, are they getting, I hate these 16-team things, and the Big Ten's going to it this year with 14, where you're stair-stepping these brackets, where if you stink and you're the 13, 14, 15 seed, you're going to be playing on Tuesday. If you win, you're on Wednesday. And then if you win, you make the quarters on Thursday. If you're a top four team, you don't even arrive at the tournament until 3 days after it started. So I don't like that. I think the tournaments are a good thing. You know what? You don't have to put everybody in them. There's a lot of ways to look at it. Let's get your vote. ESPNSuperstation.com, our Midtown Mart cooler question. Shannon, by the way, an interesting side note here. You guys were victim of the Tri-City Storm trade here last week.
Yeah, so we hosted one of the players, Cam Spicer, and he was traded to Bloomington this week. Great kid. Support Tri-City. Support the Storm because it's a great, great thing that we have. And I think people don't really appreciate how hard those kids work and their backgrounds, and it's a great thing to be a part of. And they're winning. Get out there now. Support them now. Push them through because they're going to make a run at it.
Was he crushed or did he see it as an opportunity? I mean, every kid is different. I know that young man in this case.
It was emotional. So he wants to play more and spend more time on the ice, and this will give him the opportunity to do that. But, you know, he was really meshed well with the team here. Developed some great relationships with his teammates and with us, and it's further away from his hometown. These are young guys. They're 16 to 21, and he's further away from his family, and they had been able to come out and see him. He'd been able to make a quick trip home here or there. So I think he wants to play hockey. He's committed to be a hockey player. But leaving here, I think, was very difficult, again, because right now this was his team, and he's at an age when it's not a professional thing. It's a heart thing, and it's a commitment thing.
Do you think his new host family will feed him as well?
That's hard to do. Those boys, you have no clue. They tell you they eat. They tell you that they are going to soak up the food around them, and you just don't understand it until you see it in person.
we'll take a break. A couple more Husker football comments from Monty Kratzenstein, class of 85, right after this.
All sports, one source, two stations, KICS Hastings, KXPN Kearney, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation.
Today, buyers need the OneRocky.com edge. Finding out first is what gives you the best chance of finding the right home. Kearney's best real estate website just got better with customized listing notifications sent right to your email. As soon as a new listing meeting your criteria becomes available, you'll be notified. Log on to OneRocky.com and get signed up now.
Yo, this is Rocky. My customized listing service is not junk email. We don't even collect data. It's just my way of putting you first in the hunt for the right home.
Put Rocky Geyser in your corner because he cares.
Rocky.com.
Assisted living. Is it about help with the daily needs of living or about getting more out of life? Is it about the services offered or the spirit in which help is given? At Good Samaritan Society Hastings Village, the difference is in a philosophy that everyone deserves to feel loved and valued. In fact, it's a lot more than assisted living. It's a little help from your friends. For more information on assisted living, give us a call at Good Samaritan Society Hastings Village or find us on the web at good-sam.com.
Whether it's a car accident, storm damage, or a fire, when the unthinkable happens, it doesn't matter if you saved money in 15 minutes. In this moment, it doesn't matter if your neighbor has the same insurance you do. In this moment, what matters is that your independent insurance agent and the company that stands behind them have you covered. Auto Owners Insurance, the no problem people. Visit the Kroll Agency in Kennesaw, Hastings, Minden, and Roseland today.
I'm a business owner, and we called Kearney Cretan Block when we needed a new and inviting looking driveway.
We called Kearney Cretan Block when we decided to do a fire pit and patio. You should be calling Kearney Cretan Block and Christensen Concrete for all your concrete and masonry supplies. Let the professionals help you enhance the beauty and value of your home and business. Kearney Cretan Block and Christensen Concrete Products, building generations one block at a time.
Hi, it's Bo Huffman from your Kearney, Hastings, and Grand Island GNCs. That's General Nutrition Center for those of you not familiar. GNC has been the health and nutrition leader for over 75 years and continues to provide the highest quality and variety of nutritional products for any and all health needs and concerns. From acne to wrinkles and everything in between, we have the right option for your best health. Live well is our motto, and we strive to help you live well every day at the Hastings GNC just north of Walmart, in the Conestoga Mall in Grand Island, and the Hilltop Mall in Kearney. GNC.
Doug and Daddy's show, Wind It Down, our special Thursday edition during American Heart Month, and a couple of great spots to go find out more and events that are going to be going on later this month. We've been dedicating most of this show to that and to football, but a couple of sporting notes out there. It shows you how valuable Jamie Van Kirk is to Hastings College. She was under the weather last night. They scored 49 points. They shot 29% from the field. They won 49-44 over Doan.
The
bench. How about this? 35 of the 49 points comes from the bench.
Wow. And I've seen that team play a couple different times. And if you had told me that without Jamie they were going to win, I would have said that's going to take it. Kudos to that bench. You bet.
And it was great to have Bailey Morris on earlier this week.
I missed
seen
that.
Her too. Yeah.
Oh yeah. I. Because my niece plays with her at Concordia, and so I've got to know her and her family pretty well, and I miss that.
I just know that when you go cover a team and all of a sudden you got to – and I know how to pronounce Bailey Morris, but there's a name on there. You go, okay, how's this pronounced? Where'd they come from? Or they're a freshman. The first time you see them play and you just go, this is going to be fun for X number of years if mm-hmm. I get to see this guy or this gal play. She was one of them, so cool mm-hmm. there. The men won 77-70 last night. Tonight, UNK is at Fort Hays State. Tony Hobson's got those Hays women 20-1 and ranked third in the country. The Loper women back-to-back national top five opponents. The men of Fort Hays are 13-8, 6-6 overall. Damon Day and his baseball team there in Texas.
I saw a picture of them eating barbecue. If he's gonna make us try to feel sorry for him at different times during his tenure up here, he's got to quit posting pictures of like them down in Texas.
Don't let Jabba barbecue. See that stuff.
I know.
He keeps telling Jabba that they're hurting. Come on, man. Nebraska women's basketball will be on ESPN 1550 tonight in the Big Ten Network. 19th-ranked Nebraska at 21st-ranked Rutgers. Huge game because then they have to go play 5th-ranked Maryland coming up in the next contest on Sunday. That's a no-wayer. I'm sorry, it's just a nowhere. The Loper Luncheon is underway right now up at UNK. Creighton men won last night. High school hoops tonight on the Breeze, 94.5. Giltner's at Exeter Milligan. Here on ESPN from the Viero Event Center, it's the girls' semifinals of the Fort Kearney Conference Tournament. Axtell Amherst at 6:15. Elm Creek Pleasanton at 8. The Twin Valley Conference boys' semifinals are tonight in Kennesaw. And the Loup Platte Conference Tournament on 12:30 KHAS. Adams Central will host the St. Paul girls and Loup City boys. We will have the Kearney Catholic Ravenna boys game at 7 o'clock tonight on Classic Hits 98.9. The rest of the bracket, boys, Gibbon at Wood River, Donovan Trumbull at Ord. Girls, Wood River at Kearney Catholic, Ravenna at Ord, and Arcadia Loup City at Centura. Bonnie, you have maybe a little closer connection. Shannon asks the question. You guys know a little bit about this Burroughs story. It reminds me of Danny Woodhead sliding through the cracks in the coaching change when Coach Callahan came in, not when Bo came in, but I don't know that it reminds me of that. Whether there's any parallels to it or not, athletically or otherwise, I don't know.
Well, Sean, obviously with his connection to the family, he kind of knows the whole story, but Sean also is one of those guys, he's not going to throw anybody totally under the bus. I don't know that anybody should be thrown under the bus over this deal. The whole process, the whole thing speaks to how difficult recruiting has become when you have to identify kids as they are sophomores in high school and try to project what they're going to be as seniors and project what they're going to be as college athletes. And Joe Burrow came into the first, you know, he's a legacy. Those of you that don't know it out there, you know, Joe Burrow's dad, Jimmy Burrow, played for the Huskers during the 70s, coached, it was GA at Nebraska. His older brother, Jamie, 3-year letter winner and all academic conference performer. he was a legacy. He was a guy that wanted to come to Nebraska. He had grown up around Nebraska and so on. When they moved to Ohio, and Jimmy was coaching with my buddy Jerry Godowski and Frank Solich and those guys at Ohio, everybody was watching Joe, you know, as it went along. Well, when he was a sophomore, came to camp at Nebraska, you know, he's a sophomore. I mean, how do you identify which sophomores are the best ones? And again, not throwing anybody under the bus because it's not totally his fault, but, a guy like Tim Beck, who was the quarterback coach at that time, he comes into his office, and Tim Beck really hadn't seen film on Joe, didn't know about the legacy, didn't know the interest, and certainly didn't know how good Joe was going to be. He wasn't mistreated, but he just probably wasn't given the attention that he deserved, even though he was a sophomore. And it also speaks to the fact that you can never make a first impression twice, right? Uh-huh. They get that first impression, and he's kind of, oh, yeah, nice to meet you. Okay, well, blah, blah, blah. And that kind of turned him off the whole situation. Later on, as he camped there, when he was, a junior and so on, again, Joe was a little bit of a late-developing kid, too. I mean, he had a great junior year, but he wasn't probably at the level. Nobody thought that he was going to be going to Ohio State at that point. And Nebraska, and specifically Tim Beck and those guys like that, and Joe Gans talks about it. He'll talk about this. He loved the kid in camp. He thought that kid was someone they should offer ASAP. But again, there's a lot of kids where there's a lot of disagreement about whether they should be offered or not. He wasn't given, again, probably the amount of attention that he wanted or deserved. I mean, he's not a prima donna either. I mean, you wouldn't have had to promise him anything. It's just a mess up, just a screw up. Mm-hmm. And it happens all the time. And unfortunately, then all of a sudden he gets an offer from Ohio State. And Sean mentioned it, that family and that group of people are very good people. They're loyal. They understand the process. And once they'd got that offer from Ohio State, hadn't got an offer equivalent to that, he was going to do that. Then when Nebraska came in late with the new staff wanted him badly. But he had already given his commitment. He had already been. It was too far down the road to do that, and he couldn't reverse his track.
He wasn't like some of these kids that committed to four schools in the last 10 days.
Exactly, and that's one of my problems with those kind of kids.
But you know what? That's just it. You want somebody who's loyal and committed. Yeah. My word is my bond, and it sounds like this is the kind of kid we're talking about. And oh, by the way, he knows how to play football, and he understands what it takes to get it done on a day-to-day basis. And I don't care where they end up on your team, that's the person you want on your team. Right. They do pan out, whether or not they're your superstar or they're the guy on the bench holding the play cards. The bottom line, that's what you're looking for as far as a successful team and your foundation of how you build something that matters.
Wouldn't you have loved to have been a fly on the wall? Because as soon as Tim Beck was hired, him and Urban Meyer went to the Burrow family to that meeting.
Mm.
And, I mean, it speaks to how good of a salesman maybe they are to be able to reverse track and spin it so that because a lot of people said when Tim Beck got hired as a quarterback coach, co-offensive coordinator at Ohio State, Joe Burrow would not go there. He would renege on his
yeah, but
commitment.
Again, he committed to Ohio State.
That was a 5-hour conversation, by the way.
Oh.
Now, I know that was a 5-hour meeting.
You are just a real well, a deep well of information, Monty Crescenzine.
Well,
I did not appreciate that as much before as I do now.
Well, keep hanging around me. You'll find I know very little about stuff.
Go ahead.
But that conversation was a 5-hour conversation, and somewhere along the line, that they convinced him that he was important enough to him. And by the way, watch him. I mean, he's going into a situation, if you haven't been paying attention, people, the Ohio State quarterback situation will probably be in the news
insane.
A little bit next spring and next fall. And so, he can redshirt, and who knows what will happen in a year. But.
I want the over and unders from you two guys about how long before Urban Meyer has another breakdown.
Well, not until they lose football games, right?
Or his wife freaks out?
I don't see that.
The over-under is 2 years.
Okay, thank you. Doug,
he's too young to ride off into the sunset.
He won't.
I'm not talking.
He's got a cycle building here, and I want to know what you think of it.
She's talking about riding off into the sunset. She's talking about it getting to be too much for him. And
when's he going to explode internally again and call a cardiologist?
Man, yeah. There you go. There, I see where she's going with this.
Because I want that phone call. I'll take care of his heart just fine. Then he can win me a national championship somewhere.
Well, you can already tell he's
dedicated to me. Thank you, Dr. Hoos Thompson, for taking care of my heart and keeping me healthy to be here for these kids and this team.
Well, he's freaking out already the night of the national championship. He's won the title, and he's already
He hasn't changed.
Recruit.
You watch all those stories. The man is not different. He's putting a better face on it, but the insides are still ticking.
I've said that for 100 years. Guys are just like that, are just wired differently. You know, they are just wired differently. And we saw it when Nick Saban wins national championships. You know, you just want to say, God, can't you be happy? Can't you enjoy it? Can't you just...
Can't you breathe?
They can't do it.
Stop holding your breath and breathe for us.
Yeah, they can.
And just enjoy one breath of what you've just accomplished.
Nope, got to win it again next year.
Yeah.
Got to win it again next year. A couple things before we get out of here. Congratulations to Cindy Casper of Kearney. She was our Cunningham's Comedy Contest winner. They're heading to see tonight's show at Cunningham's, 7:30 the early show, 10:30 the late show. Catch either one of them. One of these days, I want to say I don't watch late night television as much anymore. I've got to start DVRing Jimmy Fallon because he's just getting it. He's getting it. He's knocking it out of the ballpark. I know if you're probably older than us, you could care less, but he's funny, and he had another great bit on last night. Shannon, we do want to clear it up here from the numerous people that have been trying to find out where the Judd Hoos Band is playing next. You have no idea.
There's a rumor they're going to be in Norfolk in the next couple of weeks and maybe Lincoln. But if you haven't seen the Judd Hoos, get out there and find them, because they're a riot.
Okay, I don't know if we have much time we have, but...
Oh, we're way over. Brent's ready to kick me out of the studio, producer Brent.
Okay, we got to understand this, first of all. If anybody's just kind of wondering, Hoos, I've heard that name before, because it was me for the first couple months. Judd Hoos is Shannon's brother, okay? So you would obviously think Judd Hoos, he's the lead singer for Judd Hoos Band, right? Right, Shannon?
No, he is not.
What is Judd Hoos doing right now?
Judd Hoos is looking at bulls to further his herd of cattle.
He's a rancher. He is named college buddies of his.
So my brother played college football at Shattern State.
Shattern State Hall of Fame, by the way.
Yeah, back in the early 90s. And he played with another guy by the name of Funk. And Shane Funk is the drummer for this band, Judd Hoos. And basically, my brother was just notorious. When you wanted to have a good time, when you wanted things to get out of control, the person you look for is Judd Hoos. And then he'd show up and then just slobber knock you at football the next day. And you're like, how did that guy pull that off? And do it for an extended period of time. And so these guys were forming this band. And like, you know, what are we going to call it? They'd all been different bands. What are we going to call it? And so they went up to Judd one night at some shady location and said, Judd, can we use your name for our band? And he said, sure. And 20 years later, they're still playing all over the Midwest and having a great time doing it. And so it's a Judd Hoos Band. He cannot sing. He cannot play an instrument, but his name can put it on stage.
Now, dancing's good for the heart, right?
All kinds of dancing.
American Heart Month going on. Tomorrow is Go Red for Women Day. That is the main reason that Dr. Shannon Hoos Thompson is with us here in the studio today, cardiologist at Platte Valley Medical Group. They'll be at Hy-Vee tomorrow from 1 to 6. They've got an event on the 21st at the Hilltop Mall. Shannon, just kind of hit those one more time, if you would.
So heart disease is the number one killer of men, women, you name it, in our country, hands down. We need to do a better job of being aware, making good decisions, because we can prevent a lot of it. So tomorrow, Go Red for Women, wear red, get up to Hy-Vee, see what you can do, kind of understand what heart disease really is. We'll be there to help you out. Hy-Vee's all in to help us out as well. The 21st, Hilltop Mall, we're going to do a mall walk, blood pressure checks. Spend all month working on what you can do for yourself and for the people you care about.
Is there a place online or a contact to find out more?
You can go on Facebook to either the Platte Valley Medical Group, Kearney Regional Medical Center, or Hy-Vee to get more information about these events. And again, reach out to us. We'll get you the information. No charge. Just show up. We want you to feel better. I'm in an interesting business, because if I do my job right, that means less people are sick, and well, then I get more time to think about sports and spend time with Monty Kratzenstein. So there's a benefit. That's what I gain out of it, is more time for my hobbies.
Here's what I want to know. I got the pin to wear tomorrow, and I'm supposed to wear a red shirt. So what do I do so this doesn't clash?
Stick it in your forehead.
Looking at this office.
he's asking some advice.
looking at this office, just put the pin on you and it'll work out.
I wear tan Dockers and shorts a lot because everything goes with them, Monty.
Exactly.
I need Granimal tags. I got nothing.
Fashion meant for radio.
Shannon, yeah, well. Right, it goes with the other. Yes, thank you. Shannon, thanks so much for giving us some time today, and hopefully all goes well in your events.
Thank you, Doug. It was great being here.
Monty Kratzenstein, thumbs up. Thumbs up to the Husker recruiting class.
Absolutely.
Too soon to tell. You're happy. You like it as an ex?
I like the process. Yeah, I do. I like it.
We want to thank Sean Callahan from Husker Online for joining us. Tony Harper, Hastings College football coach, for joining us on the program today. Of course, Shannon and Monty tomorrow. Bill Friedman, BTN Journey. We have him on every time the Journey has something to do with the Huskers. Siobhan and Will Shields, they're going to profile them. Will just getting elected to the Pro Football Hall of Fame. Siobhan just reaching 1,000 points for the Husker men. We'll talk with Bill about that tomorrow. Jimmy Zlangen is in as the co-host. He'll have some stories, and we'll have a lot more on the conference basketball tournament. So until then, thanks for joining us. We'll see you tomorrow on the Doug and Daddy Show.
You've been listening to a Doug and Daddy podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
Oh, darling, I feel like amazing.
Don't make me do that again.
Game over.